Okay, good morning, everybody. We're going to hold off on the minutes for the moment and probably until next meeting because Liz had some work to do on the last meeting. And I want to apologize to everybody for last month. I forgot to change the time in my calendar from 1 o'clock. And so thank you for sharing it, Tracy. Appreciate it.
Did you update your clocks?
I did. I did. What I didn't do, though, is change the time from the 1 to the 9:30 that day, and I totally forgot about it. According to Liz, we left off at the universal waste, batteries, lamps, mercury-containing. What are people's thoughts on, are we doing a decent job with those? Is there anything we can do differently?
Some of the counties do more actively recycle batteries. We've seen that, right?
Well, they do everything, but yes, yeah, they did. They took batteries. I don't know what that means. Lamps.
Fluorescent, maybe fluorescent. Yeah, probably.
What is it?
It says lamps, so I was wondering.
Yeah,
But I'm guessing
the industry term, having been in it, is a lamp, not a bulb. Okay. So, but that's could be where it came from, the technical term. So.
Yeah.
I think the state could be doing a better job with that when it was mandated that Lowe's and Home Depot and other big box stores were taking them. It seemed more efficient than trying to find, you know. I think there's a company in Marlboro that might take them, but it's an awful lot to ask people to drive there.
We deal with one in Milton. It might be
I find that there's a lot of confusion about batteries. Like, just talking to people, I know people who save regular batteries in the hopes of recycling them, mm-hmm. and then those are told. So I feel like this is just, generally speaking, an education topic. Like, this whole topic needs education and outreach. But I don't feel like we need to weigh in heavily on it in any capacity.
You think they're all adequately covered?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think, like many other topics, like if I had to, this is not based on any scientific knowledge, but if I had to guess, especially with the advent of compact fluorescents and the, I don't know, do the compact LEDs, are those have to be responsibly, or they're fine?
Yeah.
So the
the LEDs, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the compact fluorescents. I mean, I would. The pessimist in me would expect that more than half of the people just throw them in the garbage. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think people save them and bring them to Lowe's. But I also don't think it's something that this report, like, it seems super granular to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's some things we're going to have to look at.
The fluorescent tubes, I think, I believe that a lot of people just break them and put them in their garbage now. Because once they're broken, they can't recycle them. And so.
But they can come to Household Hazardous Waste.
And they can go to, and they can still go to Lowe's.
Yeah,
you can still go to Lowe's with those.
They're supposed to take them.
Yes.
They're supposed to take them.
Yep.
Now they say they only take the ones, small ones, yeah.
I talked to Angelina just recently this week or last week. I thought they were still taking them at the big box, but I'll double check.
They're not at Lowe's and Highland. They only take the compacts. Like, only if you can put them in a bag and tie them.
Yeah. And the 8-footers, I will say, they're not as prevalent because usually that's business who has them. Mm-hmm. But they're really hard to get rid of, to deal with. Even the places that will take them, the cost of shipping them, our transfer station got so few that we were shipping them to the vendor, and the cost of shipping, I was going to have to charge like $12 a lamp to break even, and it was crazy because of the size of the box. So we found the place in Milton now that takes them, and we drive them over there. But
I feel like, in term, again, it'll be maybe one thing is like information sharing, making sure that best practices are being shared. That would be a suggestion. But I also feel like, in terms of bulbs, they're being phased out. Even fluorescents aren't being, I used to buy compact fluorescents. I haven't bought one in years. Now, with the advent of LED bulbs and LED fixtures, I mean, most of the fixtures in my house now are the kind of fixtures that don't even, like, they're LED fixtures that don't have a bulb or anything. Like, they're just the right. thing. So, I mean, I think they're going yeah. by, and the same thing with, you know, with some mercury containing other than, and pesticides I feel like are a different topic. I don't know why they're listed up there. Yeah. But.
Can I just
yeah.
mention my, that I think in this kind of realm, the biggest concern that I have for future is like what we're going to end up doing with the batteries from electric vehicles as mm-hmm. they are become more and more at like end of life. Like I'm not sure where they're going to end up.
I feel like there's going to be a whole industry sure. that's going to come up. Yeah, and yeah.
Is it required for them for...
They're doing more with both solar panels and EV batteries, that there's, you know, like a whole industry around.
Are they part of the producer?
I don't know bill? Currently, but like that's a very like significant battery, very large.
Yeah.
So and should be, you know, mined to the maximum extent practicable for mm-hmm. materials.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think that one, there's enough of an economic driver, and it's one battery. It's not 5 million little tiny
right.
household batteries.
Yeah.
So I don't think that the drivers there are...
And I'm not familiar. EV batteries is not something the driver or the owner of the vehicle can easily change themselves like a regular car battery. So
yeah.
So there's no the whole deposit, bring back the used one kind of thing. So it's more a specialized vendor that's changing them, and to some degree, I'm sure there's a process for them to remove those. But
right, and Toyota has, I'm sure, figured out something to do with them that yeah. is, you know, I don't know what it is. I have a Prius, and our old Prius, the battery died, and I never heard about it. I mean, you know, they replaced it,
yeah.
but I don't know what they did with it. They never became an issue, so
right.
I'm sure they have something figured
gotcha.
Out.
Can, so there might be.
Can you, if you have a relationship, call them and
sure.
find out?
I'll ask them. Yeah, I don't yeah. need a relationship.
Yeah.
Just call them up.
Yeah.
yeah.
And because, just because we don't know, I don't want to dismiss it. I want our report to be as
right.
complete as it can
mm-hmm.
be. My feeling is that something like the 8 foots that you were talking about, that may be a role for the Reuse Innovation Center, is things that are hard to recycle. If Andrew was here, he would point out that, you know, people shouldn't have to drive that long distance.
Right.
I do think we need to figure out what legally we can do at the transfer stations, but also if somebody has a problem material and wants to, and if it works out that we can bring it and safely store it and have an outlet for it, bringing them there gets that center used
yeah.
more and gets them aware of all the things that can be diverted. So,
yeah. I mean, the 8 footers, I didn't want to mislead. We take them, but the cost that we have to charge because of the cost that it costs us to get rid of them afterward is so exorbitant that I think that's part of the reason we don't get many. Plus, I think they're not as in use as much as they were either previously.
So
but
we do take them at our house.
You do,
hazardous
yeah.
waste
yeah.
collection events,
yeah.
which tells me I was wrong on those. Because we don't accept things that can be easily
yeah.
returned to like a Lowe's. So I'm looking right now and fluorescent tubes are on there, which means that's where we accept them right now.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe one thing that we could, and I actually think we should consider making a recommendation in this report, is that the agency have more household hazardous waste events. Like right now it's 2, but maybe if it were at least quarter, oh, it's four. So four, maybe, I don't know, maybe we think about suggesting more. Mm-hmm. I don't know how successful they are, how booked out, and maybe more diverse locations, because right now it's New Paltz and the agency,
I mean,
right?
One of the things that I've talked about already there, and Selena is considering something out in the Ellendale area,
mm-hmm.
I will say that what she let me know is we used to do that in the past, and like this is a big, like this is all through a contractor, they come in from out of town. The four events we have are booked, you know, with a small waiting list. So I don't think it's a bad idea to continue them. This is an expensive
Very expensive
contract.
Yeah.
So we got to look at it, if it makes sense to add it. But
mm-hmm.
That there wasn't the throughput when it was out in Ellendale doesn't mean we shouldn't try it again and really push and maybe minimize hours or do something, but I know this year we're going to do the four because we just signed the contract again.
And maybe more locations, kind of what you just touched on, because when they're all
in
Kingston, the people in the southern end, they still have to...
Yeah, there's two in Kingston, two in New Paltz.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the New Paltz ones, I'm sorry, could be
the
Western corridor.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the southern part of the county, the western, that are not really being served.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have Trudy Resnick, which we can probably use the parking lot of.
Amanda, for come back to you, Tracy. Amanda, do you have something you want to?
Yep, yeah. So always then, not just household hazardous, but small quantity generators, because there are businesses that also are smaller, nonprofits, et cetera, that aren't supposed to use household hazardous. And have bulbs and things like that. The other one is that for bulbs, maybe, you know, if bowels really are this issue, there's some other technology. There's this one thing called a bulb grinder or bulb eater. The county's actually looking into buying one of those in order to not have to ship off the bulbs. But maybe that can be located and used, and you know, then you're dealing with it as it comes in, and it doesn't become a household hazardous item.
Is that movable?
Yes.
Because maybe we could take it from place to place like we do with the grinder.
The grinder, yeah.
So, I mean, it's small. It just fits over the top of a 55-gallon drum.
Oh, cool.
But, you know, if you're doing
maybe we could
know,
buy
1,000
one.
Lamps or something like that, then it's cost-effective compared to these other services.
Yeah.
Or shared services agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two things. One... You know, I think it's great that there's a small waiting list, but I also feel like these events are preaching to the choir. I mean, I had people help me with the last one because I had so much paint, and in the course of that discussion in my major cleanout, nobody that I talked to knew about these events. You know, so but obviously I know because one, I'm someone who's engaged and had been in county government. So, I don't know the answer to that, but maybe it starts to be more of the engagement through the schools and just how do we get this information out to people. But then the second thing is using the Forever Oneida Herkimer model. I mean, in my recollection, Oneida Herkimer accepts paint at their main facility on the regular. They accept household hazardous. They accept medical on the, you know, as a daily thing. So I think this committee should consider the idea of whether or not, and I know that there's some pushback about having to bring things all the way to the agency or just having the agency in New Paltz, but the benefit of having a regular place to drop off rather than having to save is huge, because you have to be someone who's doubly motivated to dispose of properly and motivated enough to hang on to stuff for months. And
you have to be available on that day.
And you have to be available on that day.
Yeah.
And so I think, one of the things we could consider making a recommendation is that for some of the various hazardous or difficult items that the agency looks into allowing a regular place to accept drop-off, which obviously would involve some, you know, some study and investigation of what it means for you to stockpile paint for X amount of time, or is there a place to take it, like the place in New Jersey that we visited those years ago in the interim? I don't know the answers to those, but I think that would probably, now that I'm thinking about it, be more effective than more events that capture the choir. Because then it could be an ongoing, like, okay, you have this. Yes, it's a drive, but make it a part of your, you know, shopping trip or whatever to bring up and drop off this, whatever it is.
Well, I was going to suggest we even have maybe an inducement coupon or something. Maybe if you bring it up, and I don't want to drive you crazy figuring out the budgetary stuff, that, but something where if you bring it up, maybe, you know, you get some kind of gift certificate to Lowe's or something.
Compost.
Or, yeah, bag, something, yeah. Something that, so that it's not just, yeah, that's a good idea. A bag of compost or, you know, one of the, something. But just to encourage people to do it in a way that they really feel the immediate gratification. And then they go home and say, hey, I brought this stuff up to the RRA, and, you know, not only did I get rid of it all, but I got this.
Yeah.
That, you know.
It does make a difference to some people.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think I agree with what you were saying. Mm-hmm. I would prefer to have a facility that was open. Maybe not every day, but most days. And then, you know, it's all budgetary, though, at this point. Because that storing it and then moving it, there's going to be a lot of regulations around taking household hazardous waste, and just the cost of setting that up could be problematic.
Yeah. Okay, Laura?
Rockland County does it virtually every day, but they have it. The financial part of it is figured into their taxes. Because I'm sure if, you know, the agency had the finances, it's always that billion-dollar dream. It used to be a million, but there's inflation. You know, and they could do more. You know, and grants might cover a portion of it. But I mean, I don't know. When you say taxes, everybody gets crazy. But
it's also a much smaller geographically county.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of our challenge, I think.
But, I mean, they've been running their programs for years like that, the recycling and everything.
Yeah, I, you know, a lot of this is solved by some form of HHW collection, but I also think there ought to be clear guidance for the, which includes the small quantity generators. But for, I know that when we were setting up the program initially, we also always considered the commercial, institutional, industrial sector. So I think either in our report or in the education, we should be real clear, because otherwise that's where you're going to see people doing the wrong thing for the environment, unless they're real clear about what they can and should do.
Do the haulers address these items in any way? I'm unfamiliar with it. Do they just, you know, what people put in their garbage, they put in their garbage, obviously, but do the haulers ever do pickups of these things or anything like that? Is anybody aware? I don't know. So
just in their waste.
Yeah. But they're not specifically. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
There are specialized, just a direct response, there are companies that specialize, in, but not...
But the haulers themselves don't do
a
day for... Yeah. Mark, and then so we can move on to the next topic. But
I know this isn't for all household waste, but for paint, and maybe we can, you know, part of this can be a little bit better education to the public, but for paint, there's like 8 or 9 drop-offs. New York State law did the paint care program. It's for both oil and latex.
Sherwin-Williams,
Herzog, Saugerties, Habitat for Humanity, Slutsky Lumber, Ace Hardware of Ellenville, Sherwin-Williams in Poughkeepsie, and Herzog's in Poughkeepsie have to take them.
Right.
Yeah, and we, you may not have been here.
He wasn't. Well,
so
we
you weren't here.
Lengthy,
so we discussed
lengthy,
that at length. Yeah. I mean, the problem, the New York State law says you have to have a place within 15 miles. I don't have a place within 15 miles of me and all those places, except like only 5 gallons a day. And I'm happy they do it, but we need to get the state to really dig into their own legislation and require the big boxes to take it back. That would be a game changer. I wanted to ask that we again or we bump up a trip, and I think, Mark, it would be really great for you, if you haven't been there, to go to Oneida Herkimer especially, in short order. I just pulled them up. So their household hazardous waste facility is a seasonal full-time facility. It's open April to September or April to October. And they accept all the things that you might imagine that are accepted at an event in that period, that April to September period. And then year-round, they accept the bulbs, batteries, mercury.
Do you have a
sharps
contact name there or anything? Or
yes,
just from their website?
Yeah, for sure. We've dealt with them over and over.
Yeah, I just... If somebody can coordinate through Liz, and maybe we can find out some dates.
Yeah, maybe we can find out. I'll reach out to the. I can reach out to him
if you don't mind, because if you have a relationship already, or at least the contact.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I can definitely call them.
Okay.
But it would be really great, I think, for us
I've
to see.
Been. I know about them. I've researched them, but I've never been on site.
I feel like it's the most thorough of. I mean, having gone to whatever. At least 10 of these places around.
Okay.
Although that compost facility place was pretty cool.
Is there, just while since the majority of us are here, is there a day, not a specific day, but a day of the week that's better for people? Just so at least we
not
have
not Monday, because it's a long trip. It's a few hours.
We're all here on this day, so maybe...
Yeah, Wednesday's not good, but Thursday would work well.
Okay.
It's Utica. I mean,
it's far.
Yeah.
It's a big trip.
So my issue is I have a Thursday evening meeting, so I would need to be back, but as long as we're back by 6 o'clock, I'm okay, so...
We did it in,
long day.
Enough time for you to have some padding and get to your meeting.
Okay.
Is there a little bus or something that we can use?
We probably could coordinate with UCAT or something.
Or
a van, county van or something. Yeah.
I just want to reminisce quickly and say that when we started Household Hazardous Waste, we had a paint collection. Mm-hmm. We opened the latex paint. We had drums. We poured all the green, all the red, all the blue. And then it had a spout, and we filled up 5-gallon pails, and people painted their basement and closets with it, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And
it was also a 5 or 6 hour event, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had a room for things that were certified that they were not opened, and so we knew that whatever it said on the label, it really was, including paint, but all kinds of other things that were also hazardous waste, but not had never been opened. And we judged that it was okay to send it back out to the community. So we had like a free store, and plus a place to get paint. And it was very popular. It was a little labor intensive, but I think everybody had a good time doing it.
So. Let me just add one thing to make. That's where Amy and I first got together. 32 years later, we're married.
That's what you got at our free store.
There you go.
That's so great.
Fabulous. Okay, so moving on into the technical assistance resources. I think we've already somewhat touched on it, but and I just want to, Mark, compliment the Facebook blasts and things that your agency is doing. And I, as soon as I share them as a supervisor, I share them to my, circle of people. And I think social media is the modern way of doing it. But, there's probably other ways. There are population sets that are not social media users. But you guys are doing a very good job of getting that information out and those little tidbits and things. And when people are reading things in short blurbs, I think they do it and they read it and they retain it. So I think that's working. Is there anything else that we could do better? I'm not hearing anything, so maybe we think we're doing a good job on it. I mean, I feel like the information is out there much better than it was even a year ago, personally. I see these all the time now, and it's great. I don't know who on your staff is doing them, but whoever is doing it, it's great.
Yeah. Well, an idea might be for some leaders, maybe the mayor and the executive, and I know they're all busy, but maybe they can participate in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like come to one of these things or do, you know, just in some way, like, because people tend to follow the leader, and if they see a picture of, you know, Jen recycling or paint at Lowe's or something. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. But, you know, something that sticks with them, and they're like, oh, look, you can do that at Lowe's.
And maybe in the schools. I don't know you if you guys right, you are going out to the schools,
example,
because I've always...
The idea is good.
I've always been taught, and I don't know if it's still true, that if you get the younger kids involved, and I mean younger, like elementary school kids, not the teenagers, but the elementary, they go home and insist that their parents do these things, and they sort of regurgitated, and I'm guessing it still works.
I know we're pretty active in at least 3 or 4 districts.
Yeah.
So I'll just tell you, like, last year, my daughter, when she was in grades, of course, the Ahsoka's Fire Department comes and talks about putting a sticker on the window to ensure that there's, you know, and checking smoke alarms. So I get what you're saying for sure, because they definitely come back, and they're like, somebody came to my school today, and this...
Yep.
It depends on the school. My kids, I have to tell them, you know, bring your orange peel home, bring what you don't eat home, because at home we compost and we eat donuts.
Yeah.
You know, all.
Yeah. Like, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the education part of it. Yeah. But I agree.
Like,
yeah.
They're not walking the walk.
They're not walking the walk.
Right. No, we used to have to, like, not blackmail, but, you know, if, like, one of the New Paul schools wanted compost. I'm like, great, but you have to invite me in so I can do education. That's kind of it was tough. It was hard getting your foot in those doors.
Yeah.
The curriculum is very strange, and compost doesn't fit in or anything else.
That's super disappointing.
Yeah.
This is not specifically just on the waste, but there is definitely a need for what we're calling climate smart schools. There will be a state mandate on... curriculum, on climate curriculum, that's coming. I think that actually passed, or maybe it's in the works. But in terms of operations, and also in terms of projects like composting, that staff and students could get engaged so that there's a sense that you can do something about climate change. But that's a whole other topic, but I just want to let you know that we're trying to figure that out in terms of how to implement Climate Smart Schools program throughout the county, because everybody is focused on, you know, what they need to in terms of state mandates and what the parents want and everything, but with a climate emergency, we really have to get the kids engaged. But back to waste.
So the next number 79 is about engage and coordinate implementation of the Zero Waste Plan. We're going to call attention to this plan in our report significant. But then it goes on to talk about commercial waste haulers. I know we've sort of touched on this throughout every topic we've talked about, but is there anything in addition that we haven't really touched on with the how to get the commercial waste haulers better involved in this? Yeah, Emma.
Again, and I'm sorry to keep reminiscing, but when we started the program, the haulers, we met with the haulers and provided educational material, and they were to educate their customers, and then if the customer kept violating, they would give them a warning that we can't take your stuff if you don't separate the recyclables or whatever it was. And it was a very specific checklist. And then then they did enforce, and they also notified us so we could do more education in a very targeted way. So I think there is more that can be done with the haulers, and I think meeting with the haulers regularly and rephasing in enforcement of the composting and recycling law.
I think, too, to some degree, the direct contact of the haulers with the waste themselves has changed significantly with the machines and the arm that grabs the can. And when you had a physical person dumping the can in the back of a truck, they saw what was coming out, as opposed to now at the end of a shift of picking up a neighborhood or an area, they have no idea which person they picked up something. So even if they identify something afterward, there's no way to go back to the resident and say, you shouldn't have. Yeah, Tracy.
So my thought on the haulers, which I brought up before, but I don't think that Mark was here at that time. My thought on the haulers from the perspective of this group, what I really think we most have to deal with is recommending that the agency enforce the existing laws, which everyone seems to know. I mean, there are violations everywhere considering how strict the recycling laws are, but every time I've been at the agency and looked at that tipping floor, there's extensive, you know, violations, and we know that it just hasn't been enforced basically in a minimum of 20 years. There hasn't been one ticket written. So I think that's really the starting point. And what you're talking about, Mike, and what you're talking about, Manna, all of that is going to trickle down from that. And mm-hmm. I think it doesn't have to be, and Mark, I mean, you're a thoughtful person, so it obviously doesn't have to be harsh. It's not like you start issuing those $800 fines and asking for jail sentences. It's what Manna said. You start with warnings, but it has to start somewhere, and that is going to be the game changer. That is going to be what gets every person all the way into their homes starting to pay attention to this separation, because right now there is no consequence. And I get that when there's some level of pushback to the poles at the town transfer stations, but even there, actually enforcing will get the transfer stations to be more engaged in making mm-hmm. sure that there isn't significant contamination. But
They are doing that, though. I mean, we get a couple times a month.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a nominal amount. But I think the transfer stations themselves are at least making the attempt. I agree with you. I don't think the haulers are making the attempt at all.
No. No, and I remember both growing up in New Jersey and then later living in the city, I remember there would be inspections, they'd right on the curb, open up your bag, and you'd get flagged in the city, you'd get seriously flagged if there were recyclables in your trash that was on the curb in a period of time. I'm not saying that happens anymore, but, and so I don't know how micro, but I think even just that first step is going to have huge impact. And I really believe that our recommendation needs to be that we're urging you all to do that, but with all the appropriate lead-up education and multiple warnings prior to finally issuing, but just sort of letting people know that, hey, this has been on the books. I mean, it's really almost, and this goes to Manna and Laura, it's honestly pretty inconceivable that a law written in the 80s doesn't need to be changed in terms of the severity of its fines. Mm-hmm. This 4 years later, whatever it is, 91, I don't even know.
It was 91.
Okay, so 91, however many years later, that's still strict and appropriate. It just hasn't ever been even really wielded. And we have a hearing officer now. And so, and that's the other recommendation, that anything that the agency needs to make it more functional, that the county cooperates and makes it happen, because it's there's going to be some pain and some, there's going to be a learning curve when people realize, wow, I got to actually do this.
I think and education has got to be the first step,
for sure,
right? Mm-hmm. And so one way we could do that is working with the county on the property tax bills, just as a reminder that this exists and how to find it, and the obligations that the residents have to sort of separate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I plan on having, you know, conversations and forums with the haulers just to ensure that they're enforcing it, and we'll go from there.
If I can just also, I mean, my understanding too is, you know, the haulers, because there have been no, there's been no enforcement, you know, the haulers have really pushed back. Like, it used to be that they provided recycling as an absolute. Now, in certain levels, it's a paid service, whether you're commercial or, you know, or not. So you might be a commercial facility that doesn't get, that just says, oh, I don't need the recycling container. And maybe you're the rare commercial facility that doesn't need it because you're somehow separating some otherwise. But I think that my understanding, and I could be wrong, is that when you contract with a hauler, whether it's curbside or you're a business, you're paying the hauler, and now the hauler is responsible for that waste. So it's like the ticket wouldn't go to the homeowner. If I'm throwing everything in my, you know, in my black bucket, and whatever, you know, hauler X picks it up and brings it to you, the hauler is the one that's going to get the ticket, right? So, because they assume responsibility, I'm paying them for the service. Like, there isn't a mechanism for them to ticket me, right? So I think it's going to be, because there's that, for so many, that interim step, the transfer stations are a kind of a front line that's regularly connecting with its consumer and clients, but the haulers are just sort of a blind pickup. And then on top of that, then you hear all the stories from the people who are actually separating and then are irate watching everything go into one truck. I don't have names of haulers that are doing that, but I hear it all the time.
Well, in county waste, we have a county waste contract, and I don't do it anymore because I use it to store my recyclables that I've separated, but then I take it to the landfill, because if I put all my recyclables, and I've watched them do this, in their designated recycling bin, you get a trash bin and a recycling bin, and they're both big, and, you know, the machine comes along, and I've watched, first it's, you know, they dump it all in the same bin, and they say, oh no, there's a chute that separates, you know, the solid waste from the recycling.
Two compartments.
Some of them, but even so, it's all commingled when it gets thrown into the truck, and then, so, you know, what Manna's right. point, like, when we first started, there were several boxes, and you could recycle it, you know, here's the glass, here's this, and there's that.
Your point is
also accurate, too, that it's now a machine as opposed to a person.
I just got back from visiting my mom in Florida, and I took her waste out for her, and they pick up everything in one day, but there's four different trucks. One truck, and you put your you know, recycling one on one side of the driveway and your waste, and one truck picks up the recycling, and one truck picks up the waste, and another truck picks up yard waste, and the fourth one picks up furniture or discarded items. And they have four, but it's all done through the county, and it's all part of your county taxes. And so that's how it's done down there, and this is in Naples, Florida. So it can work, but it's just I agree with you. There's no way there's a chute that separates it. Exactly. So, Laura, did you have one more?
Well, I did, just with updating the law. The Recycling Oversight Committee, I think, was established the same time. We're supposed to have a meeting this fourth Monday, which isn't on the calendar, and that's great because there would only be two of us that would be able to attend. I'm frustrated. I think we have to rewrite the law, so if you have members that don't show up for three consecutive times, that we are able to, you know, appoint new people. I sent out an email. I had one person, well, two, actually, so we had someone step down. And I understand, but thank you for being there.
Yeah.
And then Michael Baum said if we change the time, but nobody else even got back. So we're basically a non-functional committee. We had had a meeting where we were going to discuss enforcement, and the agency attorney did, you know, kind of whisper in my ear at a meeting. He says, get in touch, but if you'd like to give him my phone number, you know, maybe we can approach it that way. But I think a lot of this comes in at the county level. So if there's anything any sitting legislators or RA board members could do, you know, more than happy to take a look at it and, you know, make some recommendations to the EES board so that it can go to the legislative body to make some changes. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's different tiers for enforcement, you know, perhaps a residential person wouldn't be paying $10,000 for throwing a soda bottle in,
right.
But a hauler, we'd expect a higher level of compliance.
Yeah. So then moving to the next topic, promote local successes. I think there's a lot of possibilities with this. You know, something pops into my head of honoring somebody on a monthly basis, or I mean, you know, I'm the details are not clear in my head of how to do it, but something with publicity and featuring and just to get recognition, because that breeds more notice, in my opinion anyway. And I don't know what the answer is in terms of the logistics or details.
Humana's
yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Humana.
One area that could be addressed easily is composting. And we have a composting law that is not being enforced. And I had suggested that the agency and maybe the Department of Environment work with the chamber and have them feature the businesses that have been doing it for years that are so successful, which includes SUNY New Paltz, Mohonk Mountain House, the Frost Valley YMCA, and be clear about what the law is. And it could be a regular chamber breakfast, or it could be a special meeting. It could be sort of a composting expo, and you know, if there was a special meeting, that Mark or somebody from the agency could just review for chamber members what the recycling, solid waste and recycling law says,
yeah,
and what the composting law says. And our composting law was developed by a very collaborative process, so that's one suggestion. In terms of featuring local successes, and we have very good examples, and I think that would increase participation and reduce the need for enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to, you know, the places you mentioned are more agencies, but even I'm sure there's private businesses that are doing a good job as well, and really spotlighting them, and you sort of create a little bit of friendly competition to some degree.
If I may, there's a restaurant in High Falls that is actually composting in the back. Their food waste, they're composting, and they're growing herbs all in the back. And it's a small business.
Sorry.
What's their name? Remember? Do you remember what the name of the business is?
Top of the Falls, or I forget. I think that's what it's called.
Tracy, yeah.
I'm not sure if they're still doing
it. I was going to say, so I feel like this section and the sections that we're getting into, really, they're sections of the zero waste implementation plans. Like, that we're charged with recommending reform to the agency and its enabling legislation,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
the contract. So it's like, I actually don't think that we need to weigh in on this kind of micro stuff. That's just my opinion on this kind of micro stuff. Again, it's in this, I think it's really important, and I think it's a way to make it functional.
Recommendations to the agency, though, because education and promotion, in my opinion, is all part of it. Because I think a lot of it is the, even though, you know, you only have you have the same circle of people that are getting educated.
Yeah.
And I think all this just calls more attention to it. And I think it all, in my opinion, it all helps. I agree with what you're saying, but it's things that the agency could do that the county could recommend to the agency, do these things like incorporating.
I'm just saying, I agree. Yeah. And that's the one sentence. I'm just saying that we, like when we talk about getting in the weeds here, it's like if we are going to get this done in a few months, like mm-hmm. we haven't touched on the contract, right. we haven't touched on all that, and when yeah. we start,
to I'm me, hoping this we finish.
To me, this
today.
Is a little like rugs. Yes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I think you know. I just in my folder, I'll pass this around. This is an example of an outreach guide that the agency put together. It's really comprehensive. There's great ideas. There's testimonials from businesses who are doing it. They know what they're doing. I think for us, the point is to be real about the staffing and the requirements in order to do the education
mm-hmm.
and to support the programs that we're thinking about.
And to suggest that in our report. Can I ask through you next time, can you bring some for everybody?
Yeah, I'll make some for those.
If anybody wants to see it.
I just want to, if I could just mention.
Yep.
The agency has, the board has reinstated the Zero Waste Implementation Committee. They had their first meeting last week, and I think, you know, eventually the charge will be picking up much of what is in the plan and moving it forward. So that was a recommendation from this committee, but again, I agree with Tracy in some ways, like we're going to look at the zero waste aspects okay. and push it forward.
So with that, let's just sort of then move ahead to these. I'm just going to go just name them. So the countywide yard sale, these are all things we can just highlight. And one I think maybe we should talk about, though, is number 86, identify the top 20% commercial waste generators.
Skipped 83, which that, I think is in terms of create and fill county okay. position in the legislature.
Yep. Okay, we'll go back to it.
I don't know what we meant when we did that.
Yeah, I don't either. It just says short term.
Are we talking about not an agency position, a county position of an educator? Is that what we were talking about at the time?
I think so, weren't we?
I don't
know. Doesn't specifically say what the county position is.
Waste generator and technical assistance advisor.
We were talking about. I think we were talking about putting a position in environment that would work hand in hand with the agency in supporting education goals. That's what the.
It's duplicate.
Okay.
And that kind of happened with Mike Darcy when he was with the department. But he has another position now. And it is, in terms of composting, it's actually divided that the way the law was developed, that the outreach and education would come from Department of Environment, and then additional education and ultimately enforcement would come from the agency. Because the thought was that the same entity should not do the education and outreach and the punishment.
Yeah.
I think that can be revisited. I also want to say that there is a real deficit in the composting law with regard to, for example, schools, the way they calculate the meals and the schools. Allow schools that should be required to participate to be exempted. And actually, Mike was going to help provide some language to close that gap. And I just want to bookmark that because I think it needs to be addressed. And I continue, we can keep doing this, but I just continue to be concerned to try to figure out how we're actually going to get a report. So I want to mark that.
When we finish one section, again, I'll say again what I said. My personal plan is to take all these notes that I've been doing, all the minutes, creating an overview of, I remember Comptroller Gallagher said this should not be a lengthy, you know, pages and pages and pages report, but all these this information as attachments carries through, whereas the report, we get as specific as we want to, but if you get too deep into it, then it just sits on a shelf. So my goal is, though, once we finish a section, to write something, bring it back for us to look through, preferably sort of on our own, and make comments back on it. And but that's always been the goal that I personally had, and it can be any one of us. I assume the role just because anytime I've chaired a committee, I've been the one writing the first draft of the report. But that's all it is a draft, and that it's going, somebody has to put the words down on paper. But that's why I think I'm up to about 20 pages of notes here from every meeting. So, yeah, Mark.
I'll be real quick. Can I just make one recommendation on that? And since this is going to be something that goes to the board and to legislators, that there's some sort of categorization around like immediate, midterm, long-term, so that
there will be. Yeah. So you weren't here in the very beginning, Mark. We identified four topics and we're still on topic one of the four topics. But topic one, we all agree, is the most immediate and, well, the most detailed. Within each topic, there will be three steps of, immediate, mid-range, long-term.
Can you review for Mark what those four topics are and for me?
Yeah.
Because I can't get on OneDrive. I mean, we're going to hopefully sign up today, but I'm still,
I know, I got a message from Diversion.
The four topics are, I'm sorry. Diversion.
Disposal, intergovernmental,
and then financial, which kind of encompasses all three.
Yeah,
it's almost a subset of all three because we started with the three, which is. Say them again, Amanda. Diversion,
disposal,
and then intergovernmental, which is primarily, in this case, the contract.
Mm-hmm. It's the contract. The relationship with the municipalities and with the
board composition, the contract, and the future of the agency.
Right.
Because so we're that might not.
We're still on diversion, but we all sort of universally agreed that disposal is a much shorter topic because diversion, there's so many different aspects of diversion. And then the disposal,
I think it might not be as short a topic as we
but I think we
thought.
Have
it might just
dug into it already.
Right.
Just getting back to, I know we're moving through, you wanted to say something further down. I wanted to also highlight number 85 real quick.
Yep.
It says identify commercial and multifamily needs and weaknesses. I don't want to talk about that exactly, but I do want to note for our recommendations that the law requires that multifamilies submit an action plan, and that all commercial generators do the same.
I'm pretty positive that
neither are happening at all, because when I started in this 20 years ago, at that time, I remember talking to then Charlie Shaw, and he was like, well, we don't really have those reports on files anymore. So it was like, so I think it hasn't been done for many years, but I'm not suggesting that we necessarily recommend it be done, but I do think when we get to intergovernmental, or at some point we need to dig into that idea, maybe look at the law itself and determine.
Is that the county law?
On our list. Yeah, that probably should be on our list of whether or not, like, actually look, digging into whether or not we want to recommend that actually be enforced and engaged. There was a reason it was written, but it hasn't been done in a long time.
Was there a threshold for multifamily? I seem to
it's
remember.
It's pretty small. I don't remember, but I feel like it's...
Multifamily from a land use standpoint is three or more.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Anything is classified by the state under building codes, so my guess is that's probably what is followed, is three or more units.
And for businesses, if I recall, it was 25 or more employees.
Okay.
Yes.
Had to report annually.
And we do get those reports annually.
Yes.
Angelina sent out to...
So how many businesses are there in the county that you...
So this
that's
is...
What I'm saying.
It grows through, like, the chamber. She reaches out to Department of the Environment. I mean, I feel like the last list that her and I just went over, I mean, we didn't go over the list, but she was... It's 600 plus that she's...
So she
gathered.
Gets 600 reports annually?
She gets a lot that she aggregates, and then, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not all of them comply, but we send out, notice, we send out the report, we send out instructions on how to fill it out. The ones that she believes are really large recyclable, like recycling generators,
mm-hmm.
she will definitely follow up with and have multiple contacts with. She has it by industry.
Okay.
And I can tell you, like, from the municipality, she and I, it due the end of February, and she and I communicate back and forth.
It's all due March 1st. We have 100% from, you know, compliance from the municipalities, from the school districts,
yeah.
the hospitals.
Do you report that out to the county, to the legislature?
To the DEC. It's an aggregated report that we're required
yeah.
to.
We also have to submit
annually to the DEC.
We have to submit to the DEC as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same data. So,
mm-hmm.
as
it'd
a municipality.
It's easy to get it to the county if we have it.
A question I have on that, though, the law says number of employees. Is there a better benchmark than employees? Because a smaller business with smaller employees could have significant recycling needs that isn't then being really tracked. I mean, I don't know the answer, but I get concerned if it's just based on number of employees.
For composting, it was the amount of food waste generated.
Yeah.
And that they could ask for a waiver for hardship, and also if there was a question, if they were calculated to be included, they could do a waste audit to show that they didn't qualify and shouldn't have to comply. I do think that looking at that law, I mean, this is possibly going to be a recommendation that we look at a And certainly the Recycling Oversight Committee, when it's, you know, complete and full again, to look back and see if instead of just 25 employees, if there should be an additional criteria.
It's 10?
It's 10. I just pulled it
oh,
up.
Oh, 10,
our
10,
our
10 is much
law.
Better. I feel much better with
so
10.
So our recycling law, and this isn't the annual reporting. That's what I'm saying. Like this, our recycling law requires that, hold on, I'm going to pull it up, requires that, how did I just say it, 16, commercial and institutional section. All commercial and institutional sector generators of 10 employees or more shall submit a commercial institutional solid waste reduction and recycling plan to the executive director. It's not an annual. The plan will remain on file with the agency. All commercial and institutional sector generators shall submit revisions as applicable. It will include the organization identification, description of business, location type of operation, number of employees, a waste composition analysis, including an identification of amounts of recyclable and non-recyclable materials, waste reduction and recycling practices, including an identification of waste reduction efforts, present recycling, potential recycling, and waste exchanges, a waste disposal for residual waste, including an identification of materials in the organization's waste stream that will not be reduced or recycled, and disposal methods.
So that's what you don't have on file, I'm guessing. Like, I'm guessing that, you know, Business X hasn't told you we're recycling with this company and we're doing this, and there's like a narrative like that, I think, stopped many years ago.
A number section reference to that?
304.
I mean, I will say that that information is all in the annual report that we
received. Yeah.
Okay.
There are narrative questions that are asked.
Maybe you could different. Is it a different threshold for the annual report? I know the county submits one, but is it the same 10?
I think it is 10. I think it is the same, but I'll double check with Angelina. And
that
if it's not, then.
Yeah, I think there may be a difference between filing and reporting. So we should, in other words, it may be a higher threshold for the annual report than than filing a plan. Mm-hmm. And filing a plan implies that new businesses will be identified and contacted. And the way that's done is Department of Labor, by SIC code, lists businesses and the numbers of employees. So, that's doable, but probably once a year, not in March, sometime over the summer when all that's caught up and the reports are done, to check the SIC code, Department of Labor, and see if there are new businesses that should be reached out and asked to submit a plan if they have the 10 or more employees. Thank you.
Okay, so then moving on to the next one, identifying the top 20% commercial waste generators, is there a benefit to that in any way? I think, I don't know that it really changes anything. And then
what was the one before?
The one before was what we were just talking about, identifying commercial and multifamily needs and weaknesses.
Okay.
So then after that,
I'd like to say, we had complained about several multifamily dwellings in New Paltz, and when they had gone out to check, there was a container. But there were 80 units, and there was a 96-gallon recycling container. So I think maybe we should be a little more specific about what the requirements would be. I mean, it would have to be substantial enough to be able to address all of the site recycling being generated. Not just, yeah, there's a container there.
If I may, just because I found that section too.
Yes, please.
So, unlike the commercial sector, the multifamily sector, which multifamily dwellings of 5 or more units, they have to submit to the agency for approval a multifamily dwelling recycling plan. And that plan shall include the location of the dwelling and the number of units, the collection system for regulated recyclable materials once the residents have dropped such materials in receptacles, the provisions for publicizing the recycling program to their residents, and the implementation date. And it says that they have to do it, I feel like it's somewhere in here, it said that they have to do it annually. Oh, by March 1, 1992, and every year thereafter. So they have to, multifamily has to submit an annual, and that I'm positive is not happening. Just because, again, we had that discussion over years with multiple executive directors. And that's to Laura's point, but it's just there. This is like a crazy amount of paperwork, obviously, mm-hmm. and a crazy amount of enforcement. But I'm just saying, like, all this stuff has been on the books for a really long time and ignored. Yeah. So okay. That's why I brought it up, just to say, think we have to engage in that discussion here.
I think that ultimately the number one, the first thing we're going to say about diversion is enforcement.
Yeah.
I mean, we've touched on it so many times during our review. Yeah, Amanda?
Do we have a list of all these different requirements do we have a list?
Or I don't know if it's a list.
That?
I mean, we
I
have
think
the law.
We have the law, and I think if we just, we call attention to the sections of the law that are not being followed.
But what I'm seeing is that it's like also an opportunity to look at the various pieces of legislation and making sure that they're consistent. And like in that, why don't we mention like food waste? You know, that food waste should be part of what they're identifying as their waste stream and saying whether what they're doing with it. You know, so that everything is kind of consistently reinforcing the same message. So to that end, having a list of all the either requirements or
can we sort of assign that as a homework assignment for each of us to take a look at that law and just make our own internal list?
It's not just this law.
I think I understand what Amanda is saying. Because I had the same thought. If we had an appendix or something that just listed all these relevant laws, so that people could get them, and that would help me, because then I could go and read them.
They will all be, and that's what we've talked about from the beginning. Is all these existing documents will be addendums to our report to call attention to it.
But I think the point, if I may, is not that we add them as addendum to the report, which we will.
Right.
The point is that the report has to make suggestions in relation to them. Like where they don't mesh, where we're missing an opportunity, where there may be inconsistencies, and that's work that we have to.
That's why I was asking if we can do that. If each of us can sort of do those things offline, though, because in 4 to 6 hours a month of us meeting, we're not going to get.
We have to find a way to highlight what they all are. Yeah. Then we can all look at them all offline.
I suggest that different people take different laws and do it? Because otherwise it's redundant and it's less likely to get done. If I have to go through 4 laws versus, you know, I'd be glad to make a list for the composting law because I helped develop that. And Trace, if you would do the
recycling.
Original 1991 Solid Waste and Recycling Act, that's a big one.
Yeah, can we start with a list of what there is, and then we could parse it out.
Right. Well, I think we already have, and I know you still have the OneDrive issues, but I think in the beginning all those things were.
There may be things we're not.
Yeah.
Thinking of, about the multifamilies? And again, it kind of goes back to Laura's comment. It's so interesting, and again, Manna calls it reminiscing, but like I'm gonna just highlight how good a lot of this, like the intention in this original law, is. You know that, you know the idea that section related to multifamily dwellings, unlike what I was talking about earlier, like with your relationship with your hauler, now the hauler taking the legal responsibility, which I don't know, that's not a legal analysis. I'm just saying they're the one, you're paying them, so now it's their waste. In this law, it puts the onus on, it says the lessors, owners, or managers of the dwelling, and requires that they establish a program that facilitates their residents to do the source separation, and that it be in neat and sanitary conditions, that there be adequate receptacles. So this law is actually saying, like, if they were reporting to you, if I were the owner of a 5-family dwelling, or like Laura was saying, like a 50-family dwelling, and I only had 2 containers, I am in violation of this law because I'm not providing and facilitating my residents' ability to actually follow the law, even if I'm paying for someone to pick it up. Like, I have to put the program in place. But I am also recognizing that you're new in this position and you're coming at this moment of, like, these Herculean efforts of all these things that haven't been done. But I also think we have the bones of a structure that, if we begin with enforcing what's actually there, which, acknowledging to Amanda's point, is going to take more people, is going to cost more money. That's I think what this committee is going to have to acknowledge to the legislature, that to do this is going to cost more money, and if it costs the agency more money, that ultimately means it's going to cost the county more money. But I'm prepared to say that's what we need to do to get things on track. It's just, we have to take those steps. It's just there's a lot.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out it's 2:11, so we might want to decide how long we want
to
go.
Yeah, we got started at about 20 minutes late. Do we want to go to quarter after? Is that okay with people?
I again want to suggest, and I want to break it down, that to create a list with just key points, mm-hmm. not all the detail,
yep.
mm-hmm. the section, and then mm-hmm. maybe key mm-hmm. points, that we break up the solid waste and recycling law into maybe residential, commercial, institutional, and multifamily dwelling, and then the composting law is directed at the commercial institutional sector. So,
well, you said you would do the composting,
but rather than have Tracy have to do all of the solid waste.
Well, that's what I'm kind of trying to go from now as to where do we. So you said you will do composting,
which is Article 4.
Yeah.
It's Article 4 in
under Chapter 304 Solid Waste.
Okay, and I will also do the current composting law, and I'll do that.
I think that is the current composting law. It is. It's just contained in the code.
Yeah.
I see.
The local law created an amendment to 304.
Yeah, so 304 has use of, Article 1 is use of disposal sites, Article 2 is recycling, Article 3 is solid waste management, and Article 4 is food waste prevention and recovery.
Okay. But I'll work on food waste, but I think that
right. Well, let's why don't we take a second? So Article 4 was composting. Do you want to say the other ones again, Tracy?
One is use of disposal sites. It's small. It's basically refuse from out of the county, but it's a small chapter.
Somebody want to sort of take on the creating, and this is creating a list of.
I'll do other use of disposal sites. And what I'd like to look at also is the current landfills, the former landfills that are now closed, to see what use they might be or what danger they might present. Because we had a report in 1995, board member Brian Hollander commissioned a study, and we found that of the 14 landfills, I believe, and my numbers might not be exact, but the point is, six of them were rated by the company that came in as possibly good sites to be reused, to be recycled, right. cleaned out, and used.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll work, maybe it wouldn't, but my point is there might be some value to seeing what is not just the current.
Two of them are Superfund sites.
Right, no, I know,
was
but this
down
was.
In Rochester, yeah, they rejected it at the last minute.
Right, but my point is that we have the transfer stations, mm-hmm. but we might also have other facilities that are dumps, so to speak, that might have infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, they're all unlined, so...
Right, they would have to be recycled, but that is a viable technology that has been developed over the years.
Right.
And if they're poisoning the water of the community, for example, or threatening to poison the water, we should probably know about it anyway.
Great.
So I'll be
so
happy
you'll
with
do,
that.
You'll do the... And number two was...
Recycling. I'll do recycling.
Recycling, so
that's
you're going to do that.
Wait, what was number one, Jim? What were you going to
use
of
disposal sites?
And
again, this is section 304 of the
right.
county code.
Okay.
Yes. And then three is solid waste management, which has to do with hauler licensing, denial or revocation of licenses, regulation and control of collection, transportation, disposal, etc.
Are we not moving into intergovernmental here? I'm fine with that.
We're starting to, but I think
that's
it's important
it's
we do this
right.
now.
Yeah, I think it's great.
And so it gives people time, because my next question, once we sort of assign this, is when is this homework, quote unquote, going to be due? But let's finish. I agree. We've sort of stopped the diversion topic and talked more about next steps. But so
that's fine.
Two was about the haulers. Does
no?
Yeah,
two
Amanda
has suggested a list.
I'm sorry. Three.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to follow up because Amanda suggested. That we have a list,
right?
Of
and no, I understand,
yeah,
and that's what we're trying to do right now is do this. So three was what?
Solid waste management, which has to do with hauler licensing, revocation,
right.
denial.
Which has to do with what?
Hauler licensing, revocation, denial, rules and regulations, etc.
and that gets implemented by.
Is there anybody who feels that I don't feel like I have enough knowledge? Does anybody?
I mean,
feel
it's literally like, just reading 304 and summarizing,
and
isn't it?
Oh,
right. Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Okay.
We're just going through the
okay.
law.
Okay. I'll take that one then.
But no.
Right? Isn't that?
Yeah. But in addition, then there's a separate right. Do all the separate, the recycling law, just the zero waste resolution, like there's local laws, right, which mm-hmm. then get, are they all in that section of the code? Are they all in 304? All the various
What was the
local
second
laws?
One you said?
I think so.
I mean,
source separation yeah. one, I believe, is.
Source separation is.
Is became section two or amended section
yeah.
two.
Source
section
okay. is the recycling.
And then
law.
There's other just resolutions that aren't the
yeah.
same.
I think at
yes,
some point,
like
though,
plastic bag, et cetera.
We have to realize that, A, our report is to the legislature, B, we were given 6 months to do this. I understand all this
but
we
it,
could do, but,
it,
you know.
It's, you have to map the landscape, because
yeah.
then we don't know where to intervene if we don't know, like,
right.
the, and I'm kind of visual. I had started on, like, a series of kind of flow charts
mm-hmm.
that just not really flow charts but
I
just
love your
process
charts.
Mapping like let's do it for the contracts and the waste flow, let's do it for the oversight and the regulatory framework
mm-hmm.
let's do it for the programs like who's
mm-hmm.
doing what programs, let's do it for recycling, let's do it for money, how does it flow
right.
through the system
can
just
you, can
because
you share that?
Like
yeah.
What we do here is what every committee with the UFRA does for a long part of the time, which is just understanding the landscape and the system.
Understood.
So if we, I think it would
yeah.
be a great benefit, not only our recommendations, but to have some way that is easier for people to understand.
Well, if, you know,
you'll continue working on
if you want to, you know, continue working on that, you've already started on that and want to share any of that, that's fine.
Yeah.
Can we finish, I'm sorry, can we finish though?
Yeah.
We've only gotten through three. And you
no,
because
four is food waste and prevention and recovery and Amanda.
Okay.
Amanda is suggesting that we make a list of the related documents that are not in the in section whatever 304 or whatever
right.
it is.
I feel like
so we have.
I feel like Europa did that at some point.
Yeah.
Can we ask? Because I feel like
yeah.
Europa did that when we were doing zero waste as like a background
sure.
To the work we were doing. And I will look, because I know that going even further back, like I have the hard copy document, it was somewhere here too, I think, when Carl Bill Filio led the previous committee to this, which I sat on, which looked into the dissolution of the RRA, and that began with a collection of all relevant legislation, so I will pull that list
yeah.
as well.
But that would be old.
Yes, but there's
yeah.
stuff since then, and I believe Europa did it. That's what. So Amanda's going to check with Europa.
Okay.
Also on the UCRA website, there's a section called laws
yeah.
that
okay.
lists
right.
yeah.
all the laws that reference us,
right.
which is also
yeah.
like New York State regulations and things like that, but all of the, you know, it has recycling, single-use plastics, plastic bags, straws, organics, all
great.
Listed in where it is.
Good.
Great.
So, what we're looking for is not just the list, but also key bullet points, at least from the source separation and recycling law and the composting law. And then, if there are key points from the others, we can include those.
Okay.
So, those were the topics there, though. We've covered all those. Okay. When should we bring that back to this group?
When do we meet? Next Thursday?
Well, our next meeting is next Thursday. I just don't think that this is enough time for us to...
If I have to, I'll do it by next Thursday.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fine. Whatever everybody wants. If not,
I mean, we're almost done with... I was kind of hoping we would get done with diversion today, but it appears we won't.
How much further is this list? Can we get done?
It goes all the way to 114 is the final number.
Can you scroll
number.
Up so we can see? What
yeah.
There's the Ulster County Government Sustainability Initiatives.
Yeah, these are
voters laws,
next section stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, this, I think, Mr. Chairman, I think we actually are through the diversion.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think
going.
We made it.
Woohoo.
Let me know when to stop.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Back in what, 07, 08?
Yeah, I think all the a lot of this is intergovernmental. I would agree.
I would say just the zero. We skimmed by the zero waste.
Yeah.
That one might be diversion.
Yeah, can you back it down just a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got it. If you go back to the zero, there was a thing that said zero waste. You're here? No. Yeah, the zero waste pilot and zero waste park. Yep, right there. But the zero waste park, I don't. It's kind of the.
That's a little premature.
We also kind of talked about this. Yeah, it's a little premature.
Well, some of that is kind of an overlap with the with the reuse center. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we just get to the bottom? I don't think we got to the.
Yeah.
Let's get all the way down and see. But I think we have.
I would agree. I hadn't really scrolled ahead to look, and I assumed that everything in this WIP was diversion related. So,
3 months.
Okay. Well, given that, why don't we take a moment to then try to find our April meetings, and our next meeting is next Thursday.
So the first Thursday in April is the 4th.
Yeah.
Thursdays work for everybody. I know
Thursdays or Fridays have been kind of where we've been trying to keep them, but
so Thursdays are better
open.
For me.
Okay. Thursday is good for me.
Thursday the 4th?
Yeah. 4th and the 18th then?
Yeah.
4th and 18th of April?
And again, we'll keep them
Hold
at 9:30.
I didn't get there yet. Let me just check. Thursday, the 4th. That's fine. I could do those.
Should we go up on the 8th?
And then the 18th.
It's right on the fringes. Totality, probably.
Mike, I have a possible suggestion. Instead of you focusing on solid waste management and the haulers,
mm-hmm.
could you focus on pulling your notes together so we can...
Well, that now that we've decided we're done with this section,
yeah.
I will not have that for next Thursday. There's no way I'm going to have this done
Thursday.
For next Thursday, but I can have it done for the first meeting in April.
For the one in
absolutely.
April.
And that was always my plan, is that once we completed this section... to sort of write the overview and then bring it back to, you know, share it with everybody and get feedback on it. So.
I had envisioned that we would each take sections, but if you're willing to do all
Yeah, my issue, I think, is if you have, and I've experienced this, with too many different people writing sections,
yeah.
you get different writing styles, you get a very sort of, just...
Maybe different people can review different sections.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming the review is going to be offline and people can make notes and comments and then we can discuss the comments as a body.
Okay.
And maybe before we go, Mr. Chairman, we can think about, since we only have a week till the next meeting, are we going to focus on disposal and is there homework we can do?
Or do we want to go directly into do we want to talk about the contract next? That
yeah, well, that's
what
I'm bringing up. What do we want to do? Because we only have a week between then, and then we have 2 weeks after that. So in this week, what is, you know, our next meeting, what will we focus on? What will be on the agenda?
So do we want to go into the disposal next, or do we want to move into the intergovernmental with the contract?
I don't think you can do intergovernmental
until you do disposal.
Disposal.
I would agree.
I agree.
So we'll talk about disposal next. Then my next question is we had the ZWIP for diversion. Is there a good, or do we just continue with this? Is the next part about disposal?
No.
Is there
I mean, when we talk about disposal, we're talking about ultimate disposal, right? We're talking about whether we continue to haul 300 miles, whether we site a landfill, whether we look at alternative technologies.
And what should be the basis for our discussion.
I think that we should get an update from Mark on what the agency is doing on that, because there is real active movement, and there are RFPs that have been issued and responded to. So rather than just sort of a general discussion, because we don't have that in the zero waste, I think that would be a good starting point.
Okay. Yep.
And we have had people come to the agency with disposal of
Are you able to attend the next meeting?
Yeah, I will be here.
Okay.
Is
there a way you can sort of give us any sort of report out?
I can give a general overview. So there was, when I started at the agency, we had some statements of interest that were up on the website, some proposals. Those have been taken down because in the statement of interest, the former executive director had said that these would all be remain confidential until, like any procurement process, until someone is chosen. And so I felt it was not appropriate to have just taken proprietary information and put it on a website. And so I'm even, I want to be cautious about reporting to this commission on what those exact proposals are, but I can give a general update on the type of things that is discussed within the proposals. There are a lot of advanced technologies. I get calls all the time at the agency of people wanting to come in, and I think the future is bright on that aspect. It just depends on what size of a solution the county and the upper board want to go with, as far as there's lots of advanced technologies. Not a lot in New York State yet.
Yeah.
But.
So I think a couple of just points for everyone. First is that the UCRA has an adopted solid waste management plan,
mm-hmm.
Accepted by the state, accepted by the county, that has a pretty good review of various different technologies and how applicable and how they would work for Ulster County. So that's one thing. The other thing is that there's a fairly new document out that is basically New York State trying to map how statewide we're going to meet climate goals, and in particular how they're going to fund grant opportunities to reach those climate goals, identifying sectors and kind of identifying high level like where they're going. So I'm still working my way through that document.
Can you
share it?
The scoping
document?
No, it's not the scoping document. It's a brand new climate pollution prevention plan that is like the next step to really like locking in on how we're going to try to get there. So I think that's a really good guide to look at how the
still
funding.
The same location on the website?
So it's different. I just sent a link to someone else, so I can just
can you send it to all of us? Or
is that a state document? Pardon me.
It is a produced by DEC and NYSERDA.
Okay, thanks.
So it's very, you know, it's not a grant announcement, it's not a planning document, but it's like the next step in kind of.
Well, they have to fund this year. They have to start putting money into the CLCPA.
Can you forward that to the
so maybe that's what they're waiting for. Sorry?
No, it's a meeting. When Amanda
and
says.
Before we wrap up here, so the three of you, Laura, Jim, and Tracy, are you able to access the drive? Because I am now able to access.
I'm
going to
stay, and if possible today we can get that resolved. If not, I'll come back.
Did you bring your laptop?
Yeah, I brought my laptop.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to try it.
Okay.
So yes, if not now, soon.
Mine was a long time ago, and I just hadn't tried
that?
It, and then I finally tried it.
Okay,
so
I'm going to try it.
I think Liz, Jay was able to get mine working back months ago. And I checked it last month, and it's working just fine.
I'll check mine.
I thought that yours was a while back. I think I got an email from you saying that you were in.
I got through one portal.
Yes.
I was able to.
But I just want to make sure.
Since then, it hasn't worked.
And I apologize that it's taken so long.
Even though you had access
to
it, you couldn't go back into it?
I just want to make sure. Who doesn't have access And if before, maybe.
So you did before.
I got into
we
a point.
If you got in before, then it's probably on your end and not ours.
Well,
I can't figure it out today before I leave,
okay.
But I will. I will check
are we
in between
now
and.
Yeah.
I can't get into my legislative email,
are we adjourning,
but I can access
chair?
The OneDrive.
What's that?
Are we adjourning or not?
Well,
yeah.
So
do I have.
Motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn, thank you. And we'll see everybody next week.
Who's seconding it? Who's seconding it?
Chase, you did.
Yeah.
And our home.